The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Richard Dolan, we're talking about UFOs for the 21st century mind. We've been focusing on a lot of the national security stuff about Roswell, Aztec, and the implications. And the reason I want to talk about this Chapter 8 called Contact and Abduction is because a couple of weeks ago, we had Robert Salas on the show. Of course, we know about Malmstrom, and we're talking about a guy who was in the military, and he's a pretty straight-laced kind of guy, mathematician, everything. And suddenly he's laying this abduction tale on us, Richard Dolan.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. What is your take about abductions? And I think the other thing we always focus on when we talk about abductions is the way the information is brought forth and whether you think that when we're starting to use hypnotic regression, there's so much the danger of basically contaminating the evidence and their memory.
Yes, these are very, really important questions, Gene. I was as astonished as probably anyone else when I learned that Robert Salas had said that, yes, he too was an abductee and he wasn't going to hold back anymore. And I just thought, wow, I don't really know what to say about that. I've not really delved into it with him. I haven't spoken with him in any detail, and I haven't read the details of what he said. I only heard about it, probably like a lot of other people. The thing is with abduction, you know, 20 years ago when I started researching UFOs, I remembered thinking, I'm not going to get into any weird stuff like abductions and crop circles and mutilations. I'm just going to study UFOs, like as if that wasn't strange enough. But the fact is, to ignore abductions would be, I often liken it to going to this amazing beach and you just put your little toe in the water and you say, okay, I've had enough. There's a whole big ocean out there. And at some point, you know, if you're brave enough, you have to swim. Abductions are an apparent phenomenon that will not go away. Again, I mean, for years I would read what other researchers have to say about it, but I can just say in my own journeys in this field, I've interviewed dozens of individuals, men and women, who've had what seem to be abduction experiences. I have not hypnotically regressed them because I can't do that. All I can do is listen carefully and try to keep them calm while they tell me what they remember. But there's a lot of these stories out there. There's something happening to many, many people. And what disturbs me more than anything else is that they go through their lives with this event that often is traumatic, sometimes transformative, but often it is traumatic, and they feel like they can't tell anyone because they're subject to ridicule. So I think that there's something happening. I think that there is an agency, there's a group, there's someone that is indeed taking people. This is not all bedroom sleep paralysis. You know, sleep paralysis is a real thing, but some of these abductions happen in people's cars, and they happen with waking knowledge, and not all of them require hypnotic regression, by the way, to be recalled. So there's enough out there to persuade me that this is a real phenomenon and that this is somehow connected with what we call UFOs. Not that there's not a military component, not that there's not a black budget component to this. I think there is. There's definitely, in my view, there's an abduction phenomenon that's happening.
I tend to agree. I've had my own up close and personal experience when I was very, very young. I was a 6 or 7 year old. So, I mean, I do think that there's something to it, but it's infinitely more complicated, I think, than any sort of standard ufological explanation. It's just infinitely more complicated, and I don't think it's something that, you know, can be solved by one case or even by analyzing all the cases. I think each one has a level of strangeness that's unique to that particular person in that particular case. It's almost like the individual is filling in the details of some sort of not quite manifest event. It's really hard for me to describe.
I think you're onto something here, Chris. I'm very, very in line with what you're saying. This is highly complex. One of the reasons I wrote this book, UFOs for the 21st Century Mind, I wanted it to be the single best sophisticated entry point into this subject that's been written. I mean, right. It's 500 pages, so it's not a short book, but it's not outrageously long, and it really is my attempt to cover everything that matters. And one of these things is the fact that this is a strange, strange phenomenon. My feeling at this point is that what we encounter as UFOs, it exists, what I like to think of is like at the edge or beyond the fence of our reality. You know, we have this, it's like if we're fish in the water and then someone comes into the water and then they leave. We don't know how to, we wouldn't know how to imagine life outside the water, but we would have occasional encounters with something that enters our domain. And I think that this intelligence is kind of like that. I think they come into our reality, which, you know, we perceive reality through space and through time, but we do know intellectually that space and time are not what our common sense tell us anyway. It's not what Isaac Newton said exactly. You know, time doesn't just go and space doesn't just go. They're connected like a fabric and they're affected by things like gravity and by other things. And these other beings, it seems to me, they have an ability to play games with space and time in a way that we ordinarily do not. And so they can manipulate our reality. And I think we're kind of outmatched by them. Doesn't mean that we can't try to grasp what's happening. But and then this other thing that you just said, this kind of individuality of the phenomenon, there does seem to be aspects of this that are highly individual, that engage in what we would call synchronicity and other strange things that, you know, if you have a mechanical Victorian sort of worldview that's very materialist, this doesn't really fit into it easily. You know, so there's some very strange things going on here, and that's part of the reality that we're dealing with.
Well, that brings me to a question from one of our listeners, Technomage, who has been a poster at forum.theparacast.com for almost 2 years. He doesn't post that often, but he always posts good questions for our guests here at the Paracast. And his first question is right in lines with what we were just talking about. He wants to know what your thoughts are about the absurd nature of certain UFO encounters, like aliens constantly being seen digging soil samples, performing primitively painful medical procedures, giving, Joe Symington pancakes, for instance. Isn't this a problem for the ET hypothesis and those who are convinced that these are beings from other planets coming here?
It's a very good question. I think we've all asked ourselves something like that. As I said earlier in this conversation that we had, one of the problems with what we call UFOs is that no matter what hypothesis you choose, there are real issues with it, that none of the hypotheses really are a perfect fit. None of them are. Not the Nazi UFO theory, not the U.S. black budget theory, not the time traveler theory, none of them. None of them really work. Smoothly.
Well, they all have just enough data to support them, but there's so much more data to refute them. It's right. Like the mutilation phenomenon. Who's behind the mutilations? The debunkers, you know, are correct, but only up to a certain point. The people who think it's military or some sort of health arm of the government, there's enough data to support that, but there's tons of data to refute it. And the same with the ET hypothesis, that they're gathering genetic material.
Absolutely. Well, one of the hypotheses that at least I entertain is one that Jacques Vallée introduced many years ago. I don't know that this is true, but it actually would speak to that question and some of these others, which would be that they're kind of messing with us. You know, they're sort of engaging in our culture in a certain way with a certain idea with an intention of causing slow transformations of the culture.
Mythological programming.
Yeah, but actually, in a sense, there is a kind of logic to that. No. I don't know this is the case, but if I were doing counterintelligence and trying to figure this out, that would have to be a real possibility. And it makes sense to me because even as I point out in my new book, I think there's a lot of the ancient aliens arguments that just falls flat on its face. It doesn't hold up. But right. there are enough anomalies, in my view, about our ancient past to convince me that there's a big, as I call it, a big hole in our ancient history, and that it's very possible that there was something very, very advanced interacting, either our own civilization or some other that was interacting with us thousands of years ago.
We developed technologies that have been lost now. We developed them independent of any sort of outside influence.
Oh, entirely possible. And absolutely. And one of the hypotheses we have to entertain for UFOs is that there could be an ancient breakaway civilization that, obtained some kind of important secret and decided they weren't going to share with the rest of the poor slobs on this planet, and in some secret manner have kept themselves going with their own knowledge, esoteric knowledge. Maybe this is it. When you look at certain studies, I just recently read Manly P. Hall's classic book, Secret Teachings of the Ancients.
Right.
I mean, my goodness, he wrote that in his 20s. Unbelievable.
It's a huge book.
It's a work of genius.
Right.
And what he does is he kind of takes you through like a lot of these esoteric societies and telling you what it seems like their belief systems were. And the idea that the ancient knowledge was closely held, guarded secret.
Sounds like today, closely held, closely guarded.
Yeah, exactly.
Richard Dolan is with us. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Adam Miller here with Midas Resources. Today is October 24th, 2014. Gold opened at $1,233.30. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,278.54, $639.27 for a half ounce, or $319.63 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,278.54, $639.27, and $319.63.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day. Take them camping or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You did that one. Richard Dolan's joining us.
Hey, man, Chris, you dropped the ball. I had to take over.
Thanks, Rich. I had my mute button on. I was coughing before.
I help you out, buddy.
Appreciate it. You and Nick should get together and practice.
Nick, what, Pope?
Redfern.
Nick Redfern. He constantly is aping me on the when he comes on.
Love Nick Redfern.
The Paracast.
He's very good at the shadow type of laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Whoa.
Oh, my goodness.
But we aren't here to talk about laughter. We're here to talk about...
No, this is very serious stuff, and a very serious book. You know, Richard, looking at the book, you know, it kind of reminds me of what I attempted to do with Stalking the Herd. Is start at the very beginning and end in the present, put everything out there that you possibly could fit in that was relevant, and do it in such a way that it's accessible and objective. And you've really accomplished that. This is really, I think, a major work. I think it's the most important UFO book of the year, possibly of several years. And my hat's off. I really want our listeners to go out and get this book, order it, study it. There's something in there for anyone, no matter what level of knowledge that you have about this subject. This is an incredible reference book. And my hat's really off to you, Richard, on this. It is an amazing work. You really put a lot of time and effort and thought into this.
I so very much appreciate that. Coming from you, I respect you and your work so much. I will say, when I wrote this book, I wrote it differently than every other book I've done. In other words, I actually wrote this book out without even thinking too much about citations. I just wrote it. Wrote it. And then I realized, well, I've got to put my citations in. So I went back over it and found everything. And there's about 500 or more citations, which is low for me, actually. But there's enough to get people a very clear idea of where this information is coming from. I just don't make it.
I only have one problem with the book. You did not mention the over 1,200 UFO sighting events that occurred in the San Luis Valley from 92 to 96. But
I should have
your slide on that.
No, I think you're absolutely right, and probably I should have done that. You know, part of it is simply, you know, what makes it to the page and what makes it to the cutting floor. I wanted to keep this book down to 300 pages.
Yeah,
it went
right
up to nearly 500 pages, and there's still so much more. When I do the third volume of the National Security State series, I absolutely intend to cover that. You know, very, very fairly.
No, the NORAD event in 1995 was probably the most important event that included involvement with NORAD and the military. That event, I think, is hugely overlooked, and it could be incredibly important. And
you're right.
If you at least cover that event, I'll be happy.
No, thank you for mentioning that, and I do appreciate it. And, you know, honestly, if I'd had after you finish a book like this, there's always things that you think, oh, God, I wish I'd included this or that. And I know that's one of those things I probably ought to have included.
Yeah. Well, you got time for your next volume of the National Security State volumes. I have some other questions here we'd love to get into. Just real quick, this one comes from Ashtray, who is he's been a poster for a year, but he's only posted 9 times. So you're bringing them out of the woodwork.
Great.
Great. In which way has the whole UFO topic changed your religious belief system? Do you still believe in some sort of God?
That's a good question. You know, I don't believe in the desert sky god mythology. I don't believe in the cartoon version of. I mean, that's really what Judaism, Christianity, Islam really are. In my view, I look at them as cartoons for what should be true spirituality. Sorry if I'm offending anyone, but look, this is my opinion.
It's spoken like a true Gnostic.
Well, right. So I went through spiritually. I think I've gone through the whole journey. You know, I went through years where I thought I was an atheist, and I'm not an atheist any longer. I do believe that there's a kind of transcendental reality. I believe, in other words, in the survival of some kind of being part of us after the death of these physical bodies. Call it the soul. It's as good a word as any. The ancients used it. I think that there's something like a soul. I happen to believe, I don't know this, but what can any of us know? But I believe that probably the way that we comport ourselves in this reality might have some determination on the quality of our existence afterward. After we shed this mortal coil, has the UFO phenomenon affected my belief system? Not really so much, although through the UFO phenomenon, I did a long study of remote viewing, and it was a study of remote viewing that actually did affect my spiritual beliefs. I will say that, like, you know, the recognition that many remote viewers are able to see things not simply across space, but across time. There's some very good examples of this. In other words, seeing the future. Joe McMonagle, who I've gotten to talk to about this, is one very good example. There are others. So at one point I asked myself, like scientifically, how is it that is this possible? I mean, what does it say about the fabric of reality that a human being can see across space or time? What part of us is doing that? What part of reality are we affecting when we're seeing? I mean, it's crazy questions. But what I believe is that there's a part of us that is able to transcend what we ordinarily perceive as space and time. And that part of us, that's what I would call that the soul. And I think that that is a separate aspect of our existence. And so I do have that aspect of spiritual belief. I would never presume that I would call that knowledge. This is where I complain about Christian fundamentalists or Islamic fundamentalists or any fundamentalists. I call them spiritually greedy. You know, it's like, it's one thing to have faith. What is faith? Faith is a little bit of hope, a little bit of belief. It's not knowledge. If it were knowledge, that's the word we would use. Faith is not knowledge. So with faith, you have to have a little bit of uncertainty. You have to be comfortable with uncertainty. But there are people who are not comfortable with uncertainty. They get greedy. They want to know it all. Well, ancient people, whether the ancient Greeks who talked about this or the ancient Hebrews who talked about this in stories like the Tower of Babel, you know, when you try to put yourself at the level of the gods, that is thinking that you know, not just think, believe, but you know what God's will is, or you know this or that, well, God's going to mess you up. The Greeks called it hubris, a certain pride that put you on the level of the gods, and they would smack you down. In the Tower of Babel story, people wanted to create a tower to reach God, and God said, oh, no, you ain't, and dispersed them with different languages. Well, that's a brilliant metaphor. You know, it's for us to understand that it is actually not the place of human beings to have true omniscience. It is not the place of human beings to put themselves at the level of the gods. There's always going to be doubt. So when you get these fundamentalist types, I call that greedy. You know, we're not supposed to, you can't know. So be comfortable with some uncertainty and just get over it. But I believe, or at least I think that there's a reality that follows the death of my body. I can call that faith, and I don't mind calling it that.
Yeah, I've always likened it like this is kindergarten, and all we're doing is hoping to graduate kindergarten and go on to first grade.
yeah, right. I think, you know, there was an old yoga book from the 1930s that I browsed through about a year ago, and the last page or so was kind of this amazing book, and the guy said, I met with this guru in India, and he said, we are all, those of us on the path, that we are candidates for humanity. We're candidates for humanity. I thought that was a beautiful expression. In other words, implying that we're not fully human. There's so much potential. We can be. But if we put ourselves along the correct path, we are at least candidates for that.
We're candidates for something, I'll sure tell you that. Richard Dolan is with us, and you're hearing about a lot of fascinating stuff and a show that's really too short to contain it all. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
Let me remind you that we have a free copy of Chris O'Brien's Secrets in the Mysterious Valley to send to you. Sign up for our newsletter at theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Pay a visit. You'll see up there a place where you can subscribe to our newsletter, and once we get your subscription within a few days, we'll get a copy of the book. Speaking of books, this book we're talking about is UFOs for the 21st Century Mind, A Fresh Guide to an Ancient Mystery by Richard Dolan. And Chris is asking the questions that you listeners have asked of Rich. Go ahead.
Here's another question from Ashtray, and I'm sure it's one that you get all the time, but just, you know, to make it official here, have you ever been approached by some high-level person because you're getting too close to the truth?
Not really, no. I mean, I've talked to high-level people, never in a confrontational way, and they've never, like, approached me because they need to warn me off of anything. I've never had that experience. Yeah. I've had experiences when I concluded that I was being monitored. I had experiences when I concluded that someone was trying to mess with my research by disinforming me. I had that.
Right.
I think that's the case. Even to this day, I don't know for sure. But I've never been warned. I've never felt threatened. I had one in my whole time doing this. I had one very bizarre feeling that I might have been under some kind of attack. And I don't even mind mentioning it. It was back in 2005 in November at one of the crash retrieval conferences, which was run by Ryan Wood and Bob Wood. It was in a hotel that was in Las Vegas. Yeah. And I forget the name of the hotel. I have to look it up. But it was a tall hotel, and it was all like inside. Like, so you could, the elevators, you could see the elevators going up from the inside lobby. So anyway, I don't ordinarily get headaches, but I got a ripping headache during much of that conference. It was so bad that I had it after I did my lecture. I was at my table and my head was like exploding. I didn't understand why. So I had to leave the conference briefly to lie down. I went up to my hotel room, went into my room, and I laid down for about an hour. And after that time, my headache was subsided mostly. It's like 80% gone. So I thought, okay, I'm going to rejoin the conference. And literally the moment I stepped out my door, the moment my foot like hit the outside my door, the headache came back in absolute full force. And again, the room would be like completely visible from even the lobby. All the rooms were visible from the lobby in this hotel structure. So I went, I rejoined the conference anyway, and I was just in agony the whole day. And there were some very odd people at that particular conference. A lot of these UFO conferences, you know, you get a wide range of people. You get people who are truly kind of off the wall crazy, but you get a lot of brilliant people, and you do get a lot of people who seem to be in the spook community, whether military or military intel or what some intel. Right. And especially those conferences, the crash retrieval conferences, there are always a lot of them.
How do you know this?
How do I know that there are that?
What's the telltale sign that this person's a spook?
Oh, well, my goodness. When you talk to someone, when they have, there's a certain demeanor with these people, first of all.
Yeah.
These are serious people. They're usually very well-mannered, very well groomed. And they're exactly articulate, precise in the way they speak to you. And they have a depth of knowledge that it's obvious. This is just not amateur town when you get to some of these people.
Yeah, they're usually dressed in beige safari suits. I call them the MIPs, the men in beige.
That's interesting. I guess, yeah, maybe. But they're very exact. They're very intelligent and very knowledgeable. And this is not something that you just people casually acquire these personalities and knowledge. So I think there's a lot of those types. And actually, I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine, Victor Vigiani, who's up in Canada. Victor's a good guy. He told me of a friend, an acquaintance, I guess I should say, he made in Australia back in the 90s through his wife, some casual thing. This guy had worked with U.S. CIA. And they were having drinks and everything was casual, but somehow the UFO thing came up. And all the guy said to Victor was, oh, yes, there's always, you know, we always keep an eye on the UFO people. And he basically made it clear that they would go to conferences and they would attend and just kind of see what's happening in that whole community. I think Victor was telling the truth. I think Victor got that accurately. I know he was telling the truth.
Well, now that we're on the subject, this next question comes from Sigil, who lives up there in Dingleberry, New York. And
Dingleberry, really?
claims he's a lab rat at a large computer company. Anyway, he's a fairly new sign-up at forum.theparacast.com. He has a number of questions here, and the first one is, what three-letter establishment do you suspect is holding the most data regarding the UFO phenomenon in our government? And then he says, what other country or foreign establishment do you suspect holds the most outside of the U.S., China or Russia?
Oh, good questions. Well, I think one three-letter establishment that no one ever talks about that has to have a huge amount of data is the NRO.
NRO.
For sure, man. National Reconnaissance Office, which officially speaking controls and monitors all U.S. spy satellites. And they've done so since around 1960, 61. You know, for 30 years, it was a felony to mention the existence of the NRO in the halls of Congress. It was actually against the law. The NRO was outed in the early 90s, and we still really have almost no information about it. But I think the NRO, without a doubt, has a tremendous amount of data on this phenomenon. The NRO has its own close relationship with the NSA. Again, there's very little question in my mind that there's a great amount of data that the NSA has acquired on this. Ditto with CIA. You know, a lot of these three-letter agencies that are very well known, yes, CIA for sure, NSA for sure, NRO absolutely for sure. And then you've got Navy. I mean, everyone who's looked into this for any amount of time concludes that the U.S. Navy is a serious player in the acquisition of knowledge of what we call UFO phenomena.
Possibly more so than the Air Force, even.
Yeah, I think so, because a lot of this phenomenon is below the water, is in the water. And in my own personal conversations, it's not that I run into Navy people more than Air Force people, but however it works out, I get a lot more interesting information out of Navy people than I've ever gotten out of Air Force people. Like, by far. You know, these Navy people, you have to understand, like, someone who is very skeptical and thinking, oh, my God, well, how do you know they're just not lying to you? I guess part of what I would say is you have to be there. I had a conversation with one Navy officer some years ago. I was like 6'3", rock solid. This is exactly the kind of guy you'd want defending your country. And he's a good guy. He's a Navy recruiter. At least he was when I met him. I was having a long conversation with him about an entirely different matter. It had nothing to do with UFOs. But then he realized that I was a UFO researcher. And after a lot of hesitation, he said, well, I'll tell you a story. And then he just tells me this amazing story about what happened to him in 1987 aboard the USS Saratoga. And I mean, I think he was absolutely credible. And I think if anyone were to sit in with this man about his story, they would believe him as much as I did. And I get these all the time from Navy people. And it's not that they're necessarily breaking security oaths. They're just very quietly telling something that they experienced that I think they just had to get off their chest, you know? So I think the Navy is very much involved. There's a presence in our oceans of, I call it the presence of an other. They're not us.
Yeah, well, a classic book, Ivan T. Sanderson, Invisible Residence. If you haven't read it, go out and get it. Along
it's a beautifully
with
written
book.
Yeah, it's just a beautifully written book. Sanderson was such a good writer.
Incredible claim that 50% of UFO sightings are located in and around bodies of water, which you don't hear people
really
talk about that.
I mean, there's a lot of water-based sightings. A lot of them. So it's probably high number.
That brings me to a question from Junius. He would like to ask you if you think the UAP, UFO phenomenon are more likely to be time travelers as opposed to aliens from other planets. And I would add, possibly other tenants in the building. Are we dealing with something that's hiding in the oceans, for instance?
Let's do that answer on the other side, okay? We have one more segment to offer here. And again, Richard Dolan's book, 500 pages of this stuff, UFOs for the 21st Century Mind. And as you see, we can only cut the surface here. We've got a lot more to go into. That's almost a watery pun there. With Gene and Chris, you're in.
The Paracast.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. Tote Flowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, Pro Flowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from Pro Flowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to proflowers.com, click the blue microphone in the top right corner, and enter code PLOW. That's proflowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
All right. So the question asked by our listener, of Richard Dolan, and we have to move through the answers pretty quickly now. We're in the last segment. Go ahead, please.
Do I think time travelers is more likely than extraterrestrials? I actually don't think it's more likely than extraterrestrials. I think extraterrestrials is more likely. But I don't rule it out. I think, is time travel possible? I guess there are physicists who leave that door open. I would certainly not feel qualified to close it if they don't. There are a few people who, stridently make this claim that they know that this is a time travel phenomenon. I don't feel that confident. I think it's more likely that they're from another planet simply because, look, we can see ourselves in the next 50 years or more being able, honestly, to go to another planet. I mean, we can't make it right now to the nearest star, but in another 50 years, we're going to have genetic manipulation, nanotech, advanced artificial intelligence, artificially intelligent ships. I mean, good grief. Quantum computing. We will be able, I guarantee you.
Well, you mentioned in your book that Ben Rich mentioned that we have the technology to take E.T. home. So
that's right.
Maybe we even do have that capability. But what about the other tenants in the building, the ultra-terrestrial possibility, or as Mac Tone has coined the term, the crypto-terrestrial?
Yeah.
Do you think that there's a possibility of sub-oceanic, subterranean, some sort of dimensional, possibly living alongside us or
sure,
underneath our oceans?
Yeah, sure. I think it's possible. I don't know that this is true. All we're doing is groping in the dark here at a phenomenon that we really are having such a hard time understanding. Where I'm confident at is that there is a phenomenon that is real, that has engaged our militaries, that the militaries don't really know how to deal with, and that their only way in dealing with the public is by clamping that lid down as tightly as they can because they feel it's just too revolutionary. What is the side? What are these others? Are they extraterrestrial or are they permanent residents? I couldn't tell you for sure. I think they're probably ETs. I think some of them have been living here for a long, long time, and they may be permanent residents of Earth. They may have evolved here and just evolved on a separate path. All of those are possible. I just don't know.
Probably more terrestrial than we are. When people say, Chris, you believe in aliens, I say, well, how do you know we're not the aliens and they're more terrestrial than we are?
Very possible.
We really don't know.
Charles Fort, years ago, put it well. He said, we are property. Maybe they created us.
Right. Here's a question from Technomage, who's one of our posters at forum.theparacast.com, where you can post your questions for our guests. He wants to know, Richard, what are your favorite two or three cases from the last 10 years? Well, let's say from 2000 on. The last 14
years. One I actually wrote about in my book, which is one that's come to me, and I've had extensive discussion with the primary gentleman involved. It's a Canadian case that took place in early 2008 in the northernmost habitation on planet Earth, a Canadian base called CFS Alert, Canadian Forces Station Alert. If you go to the very, very tippy top of Greenland and make a quick left, you're right there. This is an electronic post that was established in the 50s to spy on the Russians. It's still there, mostly probably still spies on the Russians, but it communicates with nuclear subs that are up there. I wrote about this, and I think this is a true case. So in January of 08, same month as the Stevensville, Texas case, by the way, but way up here in the middle of the Arctic winter, pitch black, a 200-foot-long object appears to have gone up over the base, shone an intensely bright beam of light on the base for 10 minutes, and then just went right over the frozen Arctic Ocean, gone. There's nothing in this area for hundreds of miles, and once you go over the ocean for thousands and thousands of miles, it's just nothing. There's no drone technology that we know of that could accomplish this. Not the Russians, not the Chinese, not the Americans, not the Canadians. It's a heck of a case. I have more about that in my book. There's a lot of amazing cases that I've become aware of. One that I personally investigated from 2003, another Canadian case. I live near Canada. I'm in Rochester, New York, right over the lake from Canada. A case from 03 in Kingston, New York, a black triangle case. And I only mention it because I personally investigated this in some detail. I got to know the main witness very, very well. One of the most conscientious, upstanding people I've ever known in my life. I consider this woman like a sister to me today. And she saw a perfect, absolutely perfect equilateral black triangle with sharp edges right over her car near Kingston, Ontario. There's a Canadian Forces base over there. And this triangle went in the direction of that base. Totally silent, right over her head. Pretty interesting case. I wrote about that in my book. I'm a big advocate of the importance of the O'Hare case of November of 06. I think that remains a very significant case, historically as well as intrinsically. You know, you've got this object over one of the busiest airports in the world, seen by a lot of United personnel, and it takes off, punches a hole through the clouds. That case is – that works on many levels.
Yeah, and Stevensville, too. Crockett Ranch, the Bush's ranch there, and the possible incursion of UFOs over the ranch there.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, this is a large craft that was being chased by F-16 jets, but at least according to witnesses. Air Force denied it. Of course they're going to deny it. And but when it stopped over one of the witnesses, he said it was incredible. It was massive. It blocked out the sky, and he could see the whole underside. And then according to FAA radar data, there was an unknown, and this is, you can see this on YouTube, and it does appear upon a departure to go off in the direction of the Crawford Ranch. And then the last one of the 20th century that I think is very significant took place just outside Washington, D.C., just after 9/11. That's the D.C. case of July of 2002. This is another one I personally investigated. I spoke to a number of the witnesses firsthand. There was something very significant in the skies just outside restricted airspace, chased by F-16s. They could not compete with this thing, and it took off over the ocean. It was just gone, disappeared on radar. So there's a number of these very interesting cases that have come out. They have not gone away. There are many more. I'd say those are some top ones.
Well, Richard, we've covered a lot of the questions that listeners have posted. The ones that we haven't covered, we don't have enough time to really get a good, cogent answer from you. But why don't you give us kind of an insider look at how Part 3 of the National Security State Series is going, and give us some insight into possibly when that's going to be finished, and what are some of the revelations that have come out of that project already?
I have a lot of stuff I've been working on with this. This is going to anger some of my readers, but look, I honestly don't care at this point. There may be one other book that I crank out really quickly before I actually finished Volume 3 of the National Security State Series. People think they're going to be upset, but when this other book comes out, they're going to be like, oh my goodness, what an awesome book. I'm going to try to get that other book out by the springtime, and I absolutely want to get Volume 3 of National Security State Series out. It will cover the UFO phenomenon and reality from 1992 to the present day. It'll be about 600 pages, similar to the Volume 2. It's going to continue the story. It's basically a book that will exist on three legs. That is phenomenon itself, the cases that I feel are the most significant that really deserve attention worldwide, the research that is where we have come from the early 1990s until today, what you find out is that ufology as a discipline has just exploded in the last generation with the growth of the internet and the web. It's just absolutely gone into so many different directions from where it had been. And then
Not too good, believe me.
Well, it's a mixed bag. I wouldn't say it's entirely negative, but it has been negative in some ways. And then the final piece of that final leg will be the politics and trying to understand the nature of what I would call the cover-up. This is the most fascinating subject that I could ever have gotten my hands into. I don't know if we'll ever really get to the bottom of the phenomenon. One thing I'll be pointing out in this third volume, I mean, my series is called UFOs in the National Security State, but really this third volume will almost be the international security state.
Yeah.
Because
yep.
This is a truly global phenomenon and a global system that has come into place since the end of the Cold War.
Richard Dolan, tell our listeners, please, where they can find more of the stuff you work on.
Absolutely. My website is richarddolanpress.com. I just recently revised it, updated it, made it nice and pretty. It's a nicer website to kind of navigate your way through. I try to keep it up to date. richarddolanpress.com. I've got articles, books, things I publish by other authors. All of the introductions of my books are all online. You can just read them.
Very good. Chris O'Brien's book is Stalking the Herd, and you can get a copy from OurStrangePlanet.com, OurStrangePlanet.com. And Chris will autograph and number the book if you buy the print version. We're also giving away a free copy of an earlier book by Chris called Secrets of the Mysterious Valley. Go to theparacast.com, theparacast.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, and we'll get a copy for you. You can find the Paracast also on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. Also look for the Paracast fan book on the Paracast fan club on Facebook. Richard Dolan, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
That was a real pleasure, Gene. I enjoyed talking with you and Chris. You guys are great.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Call me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. 877-996-4327, extension 128. That's 877-996-4327, extension 128.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, a natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules. Now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body. Normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.